This morning we are following the thread into John's Gospel, where Jesus is preparing his disciples for his death. Our scripture lesson is part of what is called Jesus' farewell discourse, a speech that summarizes some of Jesus' last words to his followers, words about what he wants them to remember when he's gone, words meant to encourage, words that would serve as a compass or a reference point when they had to navigate without him. These are Jesus' legacy words. Before we hear them, let us turn to God in prayer. Let's pray. Living God, speak to us again about your love in Jesus Christ, that we might learn it, live it, and show it in all the places we go. We pray through Christ, the living word. Amen. Listen now to these words of Jesus. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In a book called The Great Spiritual Migration, Brian McLaren tells about looking for a new church when he and his wife moved to a new town in a new state. After 20 years as a pastor, Brian had left the pastorate, and for the first time in his life, nobody would know whether he went to church or played hooky. He was curious himself about whether he would go to church out of a sense of duty, would stop going entirely, or would actually feel a need for church for the sake of his own soul. He did feel a need, but what he needed as a parishioner turned out to be very different from what had preoccupied him as a pastor. He wasn't looking for clever sermons or a certain style of music. He didn't need a church that was cool or contemporary or big or small. He didn't need a church whose primary goal was to police the belief system of its members. Instead, Brian wanted and needed a church that would help him live a life of love with as little distraction as possible. He writes, "I needed sustenance, encouragement, and help in loving God, loving myself, loving my wife, loving my kids and grandkids and extended family, loving my neighbors, especially people I might struggle to love, and loving the earth. I felt that without a community and regular gatherings to help me, I could too easily drift, too easily shift into autopilot, too easily stagnate or sour. Without intentional care and relevant practices, my soul could grow weary and cold, or go small and dark. I could lose my way easily. I wonder, is this what Jesus meant when he said to his disciples, "Abide in my love"? Was he talking about community and regular gatherings, intentional care, relevant practices that make it possible for his disciples to live a life of love with as little distraction as possible? For the disciples of Jesus who first heard him say these words, a huge distraction was coming as he was about to be arrested and crucified. Anticipating the abandonment they'd feel, Jesus' words are an expression of care, offered as reassurance of an intimacy, a connectedness with him that would remain long after he was gone. Jesus' words point to his legacy, the tracings he will leave behind with his followers that will be for all the world to see, a sign, a marker, an assurance of his durable, reliable, life-sustaining love. So when Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you," these are not duty words or obligation words, but way of living words. Words that will hold them and carry them through disappointment and despair. Love one another just as I have loved you is the antidote to the fracturing they will feel as he is taken from them. To give them a way to understand just what this love looks like and how it is meant to act in relationship, Jesus has just given them a metaphor to describe their relationship to him. Gesturing to a vineyard, Jesus has said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me and bear fruit." For a time, Jack and I lived in the beautiful Finger Lakes wine country of New York State. So when I hear these words about a vine and branches describing the relationship Jesus creates with his disciples, I see lush and intertwined grapevines stretching along wire stringers that guide the growth. I see how the vine is the strength and source of life for the branches and everything that grows from them. I see it's virtually impossible to determine where one branch begins and another one ends. I see their intertwining both with the vine itself and with the other branches. I can almost smell the fragrance of the grapes. And I know these grapes take their distinctive character from the soil and conditions in which they are planted. Grapes grown in the soil of New York will be different from grapes grown in Napa Valley, which will be different from grapes cultivated in the Loire Valley of France. The sun, the location, the qualities and nutrients of the soil, the way each plant is tended, the amount of water and pruning, the time of harvest, the heat or cool of the season, all of this works together to give the grape and thus the juice or wine pressed from it, its signature fragrance, flavor, and bouquet. So now, when we hear Jesus say, "Abide in my love," we are meant to think of love as the essence, the nature of Jesus. The love planted among us, love pressed through the words and actions of his life, love bearing fruit in the self-giving act of his death, in the life-redeeming gift of his resurrection. "No one has greater love than this," he said, "than to lay down one's life for his friends. And I have called you friends because I've made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. Like a vine supports and nourishes the branches that grow from it, this love holds nothing back. It's prolific. It's a full disclosure kind of love that cannot be thwarted even by less than ideal growing conditions. And like intertwined branches that spring from one vine, we who are friends of Jesus are adopted into the family by baptism, and we get to abide in this love through every twist and turn of every day as we are woven into a community that can bear the weight of the fruit of this love for the sake of the world. The fruit of the one commandment that is Jesus' legacy to us. Love one another as I have loved you. Just as I have loved you. No tests, no achievements, no competition, no judgment, no self-improvement projects first. And because I have loved you, trust, accept, hold on to it and let it hold you. Endure in it, thrive with it, make yourselves at home in it, abide in my love. It sounds so simple, so basic, except people. After writing about his search for a church that would help him live a life of love with as little distraction as possible, Brian McLaren writes, "You can't learn to love people without being around actual people, including people who infuriate, exasperate, annoy, offend, frustrate, encroach upon, resist, reject, hurt you, and thus tempting you not to love them." Learning love with Jesus. The disciples got to see amazing things, miraculous things. And the gospel record tells us that their lives were changed when they gave up everything and everyone familiar to follow him. In Jesus, they learned love that is unconditional acceptance. He never asked them to be other than themselves when he chose them. In Jesus, they learned love that is ongoing forgiveness. When they regularly messed things up, clueless, fearful, full of themselves, he never gave up on them. In Jesus, they learned the love that is welcome relief when he challenged oppressive systems and included those who had been left out. But learning love with Jesus was also about the difficult things, all of the difficult things. With Jesus, they got to hang out with actual people who came with actual qualities that sometimes made them hard to love. And sometimes they had to experience opposition, even humiliation along the way. And now he's telling his disciples that the point of it all is learning love. That the call to follow him is a call to apprenticeship in the way of love, that the community into which he calls his followers is a studio of love. Apprenticeship, studio, practice. These are words we typically associate with artists and musicians and athletes who put lots of time into learning something well, whose mistakes are part of the learning process, who depend on a teacher and each other, and who are passionate about what they want to learn. Just think what happens when disciples of Jesus consider themselves apprentices of love. When we consider our time in Christian community, whether within the walls of a church or in any of the other places we go in Jesus' name, as time spent in the studio where we are learning love, when encounters and engagement with those we already know and those who may be challenging for us to know become the curriculum through which we are learning love, when the sustenance, support, and encouragement we receive in Bible study and prayer, at table, font, and pulpit, and the discomfort we feel when disappointment, conflict, or heartbreak come, when overwhelming need and our vulnerability come up in us, become the practices of lifelong formation in learning love. Just think what can happen when we consider ourselves apprentices of love. The author and spiritual teacher Henri Nouwen put it this way: in a world so torn apart by rivalry, anger, and hatred, we have the privileged vocation to be living signs of a love that can bridge all divisions and heal all wounds. Friends of Jesus, there is much in our world to distract and deter us from this vocation given to us by Jesus. We could even be distracted by our own divisions and wounds. This is why we all need Jesus and each other. That Crossroads may be a community that helps us live a life of love with as little distraction as possible. I have said these things to you, says Jesus, so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Abiding in the love of Jesus, may our legacy be love. Thanks be to God. Amen.